Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like saddling up and chasing down.
Look at that sweet Lula!
That big old cash cow.
Look at all that money!
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Sure, I'm coming with you, dear Maria, count me in. There's a story at the bottom of this bottle and I'm the pen.
Welcome into the TaxSlayer pregame show, folks. My name is Nathan Strauss. As always, a pleasure to be here with you for Green Jackets baseball. Well, yesterday, Augusta won their fourth game in a row, and they used a six-run third inning, matching their largest single-inning run total of the season, and using a Mekhi Backstrom grand slam to propel them to victory. 6-5 was the final in yesterday's game. Jorge Bautista got the win. They're looking to push it to a lucky five, a high five here tonight in Kannapolis. They've already taken the series. Now it's about approaching one game away from the 500 marker for the first time since the first week of the season. As always, we'll begin proceedings today with the Phoenix Printing player feature. And I had a chance to sit down with Spencer Schwellenbach, the number 7 overall prospect in the Braves organization, this afternoon. Here's what he had to say. A great talker, thoroughly enjoyed speaking with him. And we'll get to that right now.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome into the TaxSlayer pregame show here on the Green Jackets Radio Network. My name is Nathan Strauss. As always, thrilled to be here for some Green Jackets baseball. Joined for today's Phoenix Printing player feature by our Thursday night starter, Spencer Schwellenbach. Spencer, I guess welcome to Augusta. We haven't spoken since you made your debut, so welcome here.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
So you grow up in Saginaw, Michigan. Obviously a cold weather territory. I think of that as being sort of hockey country. You've got the Saginaw spirit. You've got, you know, the Detroit Red Wings. What was it like from a baseball player's point of view?
So a lot of my friends played hockey. My parents were basketball people, so basketball and hockey are in the same season, so I never played. So baseball was my sport. I grew up watching my brothers play, my sister play, and kind of just fell in love with the game that way. And I always played two age groups up with my brother. My dad was the coach, and just, you know, playing and being a competitor and getting better, you know, from the older people really helped me become the player I am.
So. Were you a Tigers fan growing up in the Detroit area?
I was not. My parents are both from Wisconsin, so I was a Brewers fan. Kind of Wisconsin everything. Brewers, Packers,
You even say it like you're from Wisconsin, which I can appreciate as well. But yeah, so you're growing up there. Do you think playing two age groups up from a young age sort of helped you as a competitor?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it helped me get better too. It's like you're playing against people who are 2 years older than you and 2 years more of experience, so they're always better. But definitely helped me become the player I am, competitor, and kind of helped me mature because you know, when I'm 9 years old, 10 years old, I'm still throwing my stuff in the dugout, and, you know, when you get out. And then when you're playing with these 12, 13-year-olds, they're not doing that stuff anymore. So it's like, oh, I got to get on their level, kind of treat the game with respect. And so that's kind of, you know, what happened for me there.
So you said you're playing with one of your older brothers. Yeah. How many siblings do you have? Where are they at sort of age-wise?
I have two brothers. One is 2 years older than me. The other one is 9 years older than me. And my sister is like 7 years older than me. So
you're the youngest. I am the oldest of four with three boys and a girl as well. So I'm on the other end of the spectrum, but I can totally understand. Let's talk, you know, when was the time in your life that you began to think, you know, baseball is something that you could do professionally or take really seriously and look at D1 schools and stuff like that?
So I was playing on our local travel ball team. My dad was a coach. And we played against the Motor City Hit Dogs. And I pitched, did really well. And the coach after the game came out to my dad and said, like, hey, that guy's on our team next year. My dad was like, well, when's the tryout? He's like, oh, no, no tryout. He's on our team. So that next year, I was 12, joined the team, top five, top 10 team in the country. And, you know, playing against the best teams, performing at a really high level. And then 2 years later, fast forward, and I'm going on visits to Michigan State, Michigan, my freshman year of high school. And I was like, wow, I have a must be pretty good, have a pretty good chance to play D1 baseball and hopefully be a professional baseball player, which was the goal. So
yeah, and if you look at the alumni list for the Hit Dogs, it's pretty impressive. Were there guys that you played with there at that age group who you've sort of run into further on down the line?
Yeah, so I played with the Hit Dogs until I graduated high school. So I still keep in touch with a lot of them. Jace Bowen is in high A with the Pirates organization. And my buddies played against them. Rome played against them the other week. And I told some of my friends, like, hey, make sure you say hi to him for me. And Nino Puckett was one of my best friends. And, you know, he's playing at a D2 in Michigan right now. And he's always sending me his videos. And I'm sending him my videos. And we always hype each other up. It's pretty cool. But not being from the same town and me not being home, the relationships have kind of, not seeing someone in person for so long, it kind of began to fade a little bit, but trying to keep in touch with those guys.
Of course. Yeah. So you're taking visits to Michigan State, and Michigan obviously in your home state, and you end up committing to the Cornhuskers down in Nebraska. What was the decision like for you there?
Yeah, so I wanted to play shortstop, and Michigan State, Nebraska were the only teams that really wanted me to play shortstop and pitch, so... Being a Wisconsin fan, Wisconsin doesn't have a baseball team. So I grew up like, you know, if I get an offer from these schools, like, what am I going to think about it? And after getting those offers, it really wasn't as special as I thought it would be. And so, like, I kind of looked towards other places, and Darren Erstad was the coach at Nebraska. And my first time seeing him, meeting him, like, it was... no baseball at all, nothing. And it was just like family stuff, just getting to know me. And that really, like, you know, stuck with me. And my parents really liked them. And just like the atmosphere in Nebraska is different. Like, I come from Michigan, it's, you know, especially Detroit, especially on the road, it's like how people drive is how people are. And in Nebraska, everyone's driving under the speed limit. So that you can just tell how, like, what kind of people they are there. And so when I went there, I just felt at home, you know. So it's kind of why I went there, and then played shortstop first 2 years and got a chance to pitch my third year, and worked out really well for me.
Obviously, you know, when we see converted infielders or position players to pitchers, a lot of times it is shortstops who end up sort of sliding into that role. You were pitching from a younger age as well, as, you know, many of the best athletes end up doing. What were the conversations like after your sophomore year, and how did your, you know, I guess, ascension into being a part-time pitcher come about?
Yeah, so after our season in 2020 got canceled because of COVID, I went back home, and it was like March 15th. I flew home, and still for like almost a month, there's snow on the ground back home. So kind of just chilled for a little bit, and then once that sun came back out and it was nice, had a hockey net out in my backyard and a home plate from when I was a kid. And I put it down by the hockey net and I started throwing into the net. I was like, I told my coaches, hey, I want to be a pitcher again. I want to try it out. And so I did that a couple times a week, tried to learn my pitches again. I hadn't thrown in 3 years, so it was definitely tough. And then went to play summer ball. I only played shortstop there. And then once I got to school, you know, I threw a bullpen. I think I threw 20 pitches, and I think 19 of them were strikes. First bullpen in 3 years. My coaches were like, yeah, this can definitely work. We can do this. So and then went on from there, pitched in some scrimmages, and they said, yeah, you can be our closer for sure, but we don't want to take you out from shortstop, so just let us know what you need from us so you can stay healthy. Yeah, so that's kind of how that came along.
That's awesome. That's why the double switch exists, yeah. I suppose. And then obviously you end up going on to win the John Ollerud Two-Way Player of the Year Award back in 21. Was that something that had ever crossed your mind, winning a sort of national award?
Honestly, I didn't even really know that award was a thing until like halfway into the year.
And the watch list comes out.
Yeah, the watch list comes out, and you see the players on there. And I don't know, I was just trying to win games. The Big Ten that year, we only played conference games, so every game mattered. Every series mattered. And when that end of the year came and they announced the winner, it was really cool to hear my name. And, you know, just I would trade that award for us going to the College World Series any day. So.
Now, when you were in that senior year, or your junior year, rather, in 21, I believe you faced Justin Janis when he was playing with Illinois. Do you remember that at bat?
Yeah.
I mean, pitchers always do.
Yeah.
But what was I know you struck him out, but what was it like?
Well, I had a couple buddies on Illinois. Andrew Hoffman, who got drafted by the Braves in 2021 with me. But it was always fun playing against them because, it's fun playing against people you know. And Janis, I think he hit like 400 that year. So it's like he's going to be a tough out coming into the game and just trying to get on top, And once you see you swing, you kind of get a feel for the hitter. And I don't know how many pitches it was, but I struck him out, three or four pitches. Didn't think it'd be that easy of an at-bat. I don't know if he just wasn't seeing the ball very well or what.
I mean, he got on base. He had a 570 on-base percentage that year. He struck him out. So if shortstop you stepped into the batter's box to take on pitcher you, what's the result?
Well, if you asked me that 2 years ago when I was hitting, I'd probably have a different answer. But I don't know. I'd probably strike myself out.
That's exactly what JR said, because he also... Murphy did too. All the best pitchers are at some point 2A players.
Yeah.
Just getting back to the professional scene, you're drafted by the Braves. You had some tightness, in your pre-draft workouts, and I think people knew that you were going to end up needing some sort of operation, but you end up getting drafted by the Braves, you sign, you have the surgery. What was that sort of year like for you when, you're a professional, but you're not able to really take part in the sort of baseball activity side of things?
Yeah, it was tough. Going into the draft, I knew I was hurt. Teams knew I was hurt, but didn't know how bad it was because I had pitched through it through the season. So it's like I'm telling myself, how bad could it be? I was throwing just fine, and then got to the Braves, and we decided that we needed to do something. And I didn't throw a ball for 8 months. Sitting at the facility, you meet a lot of new people. People come and go. It was definitely tough, but you kind of learn how to handle yourself a little bit. Get some new hobbies.
Is that when you picked up golf?
I golfed before, but once I got healthy enough to golf, it was like every day type of thing. So went fishing a lot, and I started going on a lot of walks. In the fall, winter, it's really nice in Florida. The summers are tough. That's when I stopped going on my walks. But, finding peace within yourself during a hard time, that's kind of what I tried to do, and it helped me a lot.
And the plan was always to break camp this year with one of the affiliate teams, and you do. You're, back to being fully active, which I'm sure is a relief to you. How do you feel like the first month of the season has gone, both from a physical standpoint and also from... this is your first time in full season ball.
Yeah. It's been great being with these guys I met either last year during my draft or spring training, and getting to know them a little bit better, and finally pitching in a professional game, and knowing that my hard work from rehab and getting back to playing has paid off. It's definitely a really nice feeling.
And last thing for you, you were obviously a two-way player at an elite level. I mean, aside from Shohei Ohtani, there really aren't two-way guys past the NCAA level anymore, or that many of them. Do you think that your experience as a shortstop, as a batter, has helped you at all transitioning into a full-time pitcher?
Yeah, for sure. Kind of using a hitter's mindset on the mound, like, what does this hitter want right here? What is he looking for? And kind of transitioning into, I'm going to make this pitch, but if I'm hitting 0-1 count, swung at a heater, what am I going to get next? So I'm always thinking about that kind of stuff. It definitely helps, for sure.
Awesome. Well, we've really enjoyed seeing you so far.
hopefully we get to see plenty more fine outings before you eventually keep progressing up the ladder. Spencer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it.
Back with Green Jackets baseball. Lineups and first pitch when we come back. This is the Tax Slayer pregame show on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like saddling up and chasing down.
Look at that sweet moolah!
That big old cash cow.
Look at all that money!
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Back here to wrap things up on the Tax Slayer pregame show. Nathan Strauss with you on a beautiful, sunny Saturday evening here in Kannapolis. The Jiggy with a Piggy Festival continues out over the center field wall. The Green Jackets will be taking on a pitcher today, just activated from the development list, Drew McDaniel, the former Ole Miss standout. He will be making just his fifth start of the season. The Green Jackets will be sending out J.R. Ritchie, making his fourth start of the year. Coincidentally, this is just the third Saturday game that the Green Jackets will have played all season long as a result of a couple of rainouts, including a rain-shortened game last week. They are 1-1 on Saturdays so far this year. We'll step aside for the national anthem and then come back with first pitch, starting lineups, and all the action from Atrium Health Ballpark. Green Jackets baseball is next on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
We know that kids don't get sick or injured only from 8 to 5, which is why the Children's Hospital of Georgia is ready 24/7 with the only ER dedicated exclusively to kids with specially trained pediatric emergency physicians standing by to get your kids better, no matter when you need us. The Children's Hospital of Georgia is committed to providing innovative, family-centered care in an environment that caters to the special needs of children. The Children's Hospital of Georgia and AU Health are your trusted healthcare partners.
You've been listening to the Tax Slayer pregame show. Now it's time to go to the field for tonight's broadcast of Augusta Green Jackets baseball here on the Green Jackets Radio Network. This broadcast is brought to you by Augusta Coca-Cola Bottling Company, Augusta University Health, SRP, Tax Slayer, Textron, and WOW. Let's take you out to the field to join the voice of the Green Jackets for the 2023 season, Nathan Strauss.
It's Saturday Night Baseball here in North Carolina. Green Jackets looking for their fifth consecutive win. And they'll be doing it against the Kannapolis team that is on, as you would expect, a four-game slump. Green Jackets coming into today have been on a roll. Their bats are heating up. Their pitching has been as expected. And tonight, they will get a chance to take on the former Ole Miss player, Drew McDaniel, who takes the mound right now. McDaniel, 6'2", 185, out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Good college town down there in the Bayou. The Green Jackets will send out the following lineup. Tyler Collins leads it off. Tavares bats second. David McCabe, slumping mightily, is batting third tonight. Ethan Werkinger, riding a 9-game hit streak, is in the cleanup spot. Justin Janis bats fifth. Dawson Diamond remains in the lineup tonight, playing catcher and batting sixth. The bottom three, EJ Exposito, Andrew Keck, and Francisco Floyd this evening. The Green Jackets are wearing their road grays with the green numbers, black trim. Kannapolis, once again playing tonight as the Q's, a la barbecue, are in their white pants with black jerseys, the pink Q on the front. Their hats are black with a curly Q and a green brim. The umpires tonight, Chris Jenke moves back behind the plate, and Michael Corbett, who had a bit of a small zone yesterday, is back on the bases. Francisco Diaz takes his place down the first base line as the first base coach this evening, and Cody Gabella, the manager, will be the third base coach as always. Full house here tonight, expecting a sellout at Atrium Health Ballpark, their biggest crowd of the series so far. Post-game fireworks as well. Should be an exciting game here tonight as the Green Jackets look to move just one game back of 500. The Green Jackets coming into today are 11-13. Kannapolis a game away from that 500 mark at 12-11. The Green Jackets won just seven games in the month of April. They have won four in their only four games in May so far. And that'll bring up Tyler Collins. The lefty steps in to lead it off. Went 1-for-5 in his last game on Thursday. The first pitch is taken for a strike at 92 from McDaniel, and we get underway. McDaniel 2-2, a 450 ERA. Righty on lefty, the matchup. Infield is back, except for the third baseman, the 0-1, in the zone on the outside corner at 91. Leont Tapia, the third baseman. Jordan Sprinkle at short. Sanchez at second, and Bryce Willits at first. The 0-2 fouled off, and had it not been for the netting, that was going to come right into our booth. I don't know about you, but I was going to be ready to make that play. I've wanted one all season long. It's going to happen, and I'm going to make the catch, and I'm going to end up on SportsCenter. It's going to be great. The 0-2, off speed, way outside. 77 miles an hour on that curveball. But not a whole lot of break to it. More of a trailing action, almost like a screwball breaking away from the pitcher. And the count's 1-2. No one on, no score. Top of the first. The 1-2 pitch. Grounded fair down the third baseline. It's going to find the corner. It bounces off the outlay, the stanchion down there, and Collins is into second base with a stand-up double. It looked like that one was ticketed for that left field corner. It could have been three bases, but instead it hit off the wall in foul territory where the Green Jackets bullpen is and bounced all the way back into shallow left field. So it's a leadoff double for Collins, and it'll bring up the hottest hitter not named Ethan Werkinger on this team, Ambioris Tavares. 5-for-16 with 5 runs batted in this series. He is hitting .318 in the last week of games. The first pitch to Tavi is taken on the outside corner for a strike. There's the breaking ball at 76. A big looping breaking ball. If you can sit back and take it for a ride, you'll find success. Collins, 9-for-9 on stolen bases. The 0-1, checked to swing, didn't go. Collins off of second, has yet to be caught this year. His next bag will be his 10th. Likely not a situation where you'd see him running, though, with no score in the top of the first. You never want to make that first out or last out at third base. The 1-1 pitch. Taken for a strike on the bottom of the zone, 1-2. Tavares riding a 3-game hit streak, tied for his season long, and a 5-game on-base streak as well over the last week's worth of games. The 1-2 pitch, driven on a line to left field. It is down for a base hit. Collins will come in to score. Tavares takes a big turn at first and gets back to the bag. Collins scores without a throw, and it is a 1-0 Green Jackets lead here in the top of the first. An RBI single for Tavares, his 6th run batted in of the series. 75% of his runs batted in this year have come in the last 5 days. And that'll bring up David McCabe. Well, as the rest of the Green Jackets have gotten hot in this week's series, McCabe is the only player who is truly slumping right now. He is 3-for-42. That is .071. This series, 0-for-13 with 7 strikeouts and 4 walks. Tavares, who leads the league in getting caught stealing, is off of first. The pitch to McCabe is popped up down the left field line. Might be playable for the third baseman, Tapia, but it's going to drift and land amongst the picnic tables. And it's 0-1. 1-0 Green Jackets here in the top of the first. Already 2 hits in the first 2 batters against Drew McDaniel. Tavares being held on by Willits at first. The 0-1. Right down the middle for a strike at 92. You wonder, with 2 strikes, maybe they would try to send Tavares, even though he has been caught stealing more than anyone else in the league. 5 caught stealings, he's been picked off twice, but especially if McDaniel goes to that mid-70s breaking ball, it's going to be hard to throw anyone out if he can pick the right pitch to go on. The 0-2. Breaking ball popped up in foul territory again. Third baseman giving chase. It's over the netting, and it lands in the fifth row. Behind someone wearing, I believe, a St. Louis Cardinals Paul Goldschmidt jersey. Neither the Cardinals nor really any of their fans supposed to be here tonight, but the more you know. Still 0-2 on McCabe. Tavares on first. The pitch is up high, way up and in at 93, the most velo we've seen out of McDaniel so far. A win tonight would put the Green Jackets at 12-13. It would continue their ascent up the standings. It would move them half a game behind Kannapolis for third place. The 1-2 outside. Another breaking ball makes it 2-2. The Green Jackets tied with Fayetteville for fourth place at 11-13 in the Carolina League South. Pickoff throw comes over to first. Tavares is back. Tim Elko not playing first base today. He is DHing. And we'll get to how the Green Jackets have dealt with the reigning player of the month this series when he comes to bat in the bottom of the first. For now, still no one out. Tavares on first and a 2-2 count to McCabe. The pitch, sliced foul again out of play. So 15 pitches now for McDaniel, and he has yet to record an out. And the Green Jackets certainly will not be complaining when they get to this Kannapolis bullpen. It has been their biggest weakness, although they did not allow a run out of the bullpen yesterday after the third inning. Their bullpen ERA 6.62 on the season. Again, the 2-2. Line to left field and deep. Going back is the left fielder Baldwin. He's at the track, and he makes the catch. Was maybe destined for the bottom of the wall, but Baldwin, who has been converted from an infielder to an outfielder this season, was there to make the catch. Still a good at-bat by David McCabe, even if the outcome wasn't a base hit. Tavares goes back to the first base bag, and it'll bring up the cleanup hitter today, Ethan Werkinger. Werkinger, the righty, riding a 9-game hit streak. Tavares dancing off the bag. The first pitch is taken low, ball one. Shadow covering the home plate area, the home plate circle, and just stretching out to the first base bag. The shadow dies about halfway to the pitcher's mound. Pickoff throw comes to first again. Tavares scampers back in, standing up. Beautiful day today in the mid-70s. A couple of clouds. It has been picturesque baseball weather all series long. And the Green Jackets have made good use of it as well. The 1-0. Tavares goes. It's grounded to short. The shortstop Sprinkle will throw to first and get the out. A little hit-and-run action there. Whether designed or not, they will avoid the double play. Tavares in the second as Werkinger is retired 6-3. That'll bring up Justin Janis. Had a good chance to chat with him in the batting cages before today's game. Janis went 0-for-4 with two groundouts yesterday and snapped a 9-game on-base streak, and he's 2-for-13 this series. He was the best player when it came to reaching base last week as the lefty steps in and takes a changeup low and in the dirt. Janis was talking about how these 6-game series, by the time you get to the weekend and you're playing your 5th or 6th consecutive game, it can get a little tiring. And he, like everyone else, is adjusting to how to make the most of it. The 1-0 popped foul and out of play. Green Jackets up 1-0 here in the top of the first. They score first for the 12th time this year in their 25th game. Just about 50%, 48% if we're being pedantic. Tavares not being held on at second with two away. The 1-1. Smoked, but right to the first baseman. It short hops him, rather, and takes it himself to the bag. Nice play by Willett. So McDaniel gives up two hits, including an RBI single to Tavares after Collins led off with a double. But then he gets three straight outs to get him out of the inning without allowing any further damage. To the bottom of the first we go. Green Jackets on top. They have one. Kannapolis coming up when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of Minor League Baseball.
Welcome back here to Atrium Health Ballpark. We are about half an hour north of Charlotte, and it has been a good facility for them to play in over the last couple of days. As of right now, this is obviously just the second time these two teams have played in this ballpark, with the Kannapolis Cannonballers moving over here in the year after the COVID pause. But the Green Jackets are right now leading the all-time series 12-4. And obviously in minor league baseball, past performance is very much not indicative of future performance just because the personnel changes over. But it certainly seems like the Green Jackets have a good feel for Atrium Health Ballpark here. J.R. Richie comes to the mound. He'll deal with Jordan Sprinkle first. Richie gets the sign. The pitch is in the zone. Taken for a ball, actually. They call it a little bit low at 93. Richie looking to rebound after last week's start. He only gave up three hits but committed two fielding errors. The 1-0 is fouled off to the cage. Richie, 0-1, 6.52 ERA. His first outing of the year was stellar. He pitched three innings. He struck out seven, did not allow a hit, and faced the minimum. Sprinkle, the squat righty, takes the 1-1 pitch outside for a ball. 94 there, it's 2-1. Richie struck out seven his first outing, six his next outing, and then five his last outing. The 2-1 gets the zone with a fastball at 94, and it's 2-2. If you're a pattern stan, that would suggest that he is destined for four strikeouts tonight, but have it on good authority from the man himself that he is aiming higher. 2-2 on the leadoff man, Sprinkle. Green Jackets up 1-0 in the bottom of the first. The pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. He baited him with a couple of low fastballs, and then Sprinkle swung at a high piece of cheddar. Could not connect, and he becomes the first strikeout victim for J.R. Richie. Richie, the third overall prospect in this Braves organization, drafted in the compensatory balance round, the 35th overall pick last year, functionally a first-round pick. Had his dad on the broadcast last week for about 4.5 innings, and was just a delight to learn more about him. First pitch in, and taken for a ball high to Brooks Baldwin. Baldwin at the plate, the lefty, has been tormenting the Green Jackets this series. 8-17. And the 1-0. Popped up, should be playable here for the third baseman, Francisco Floyd. He's calling for it in fair territory and backs up onto the outfield grass to make the play. The Green Jackets defensively have Francisco Floyd at third, Ambioris Tavares at short. EJ Exposito slots in at second base. Justin Janis, for the 18th time this year, plays first. Ethan Werkinger is in left, Tyler Collins in center, and Andrew Keck makes his third appearance in right field this year. He has split time between the corners and also DH. Next up, Tim Elko. The 6'4 Elko takes a breaking ball for a strike. Elko, the reigning player of the month in the Carolina League, has been silenced this series. 3-17 with six strikeouts. The 0-1 swung on and missed, 0-2. The Green Jackets internally have recognized that Elko does almost all of his damage on fastballs. He sits dead red, and their solution has been to make sure he doesn't see more than one fastball per at-bat. The 0-2, taken in the dirt, a changeup there. Elko's batting average has dropped by 50 points over the last four games. He came into this series hitting .356, and he is approaching the .300 line. It's called regression to the mean. The 1-2. grounded up the middle. Richie stabs at it. It goes to Exposito, the second baseman, who throws onto first in time to retire the side. Richie gets them 1-2-3, and we head to the top of the second inning. Green Jackets up 1-0 with 6, 7, and 8 due up when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those, too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks, too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates, or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
You took your smile back to New York, but you left your toothbrush. And I hope you bought a new one, but I'd love you toothless. I used to sing on the show, now I don't.
Top of the second inning here in Kannapolis, North Carolina, with the Green Jackets on top, 1-0 over the Cannonballers. Well, the Cannonballers earlier this season had a stretch from April 14th to April 26th where they won 9 of 10 games, including a 5-game and a 4-game win streak in that time. And now it seems like the baseball gods and the very fact of baseball has caught up to them a little bit. Teams will go through highs and lows and ebbs and flows, and they are certainly in an ebb right now rather than a flow. Dawson Diamond, the sixth man, leads it off, going up against Drew McDaniel. 1-0 to score. The first pitch to Diamond is across the zone for a strike, a fastball at 91. Diamond, 0-for-2 with two walks yesterday. The 0-1, breaking ball, just low. Diamond last night suffered a severe allergic reaction, had to use an EpiPen and get cleared before playing today. The 1-1. Breaking ball is inside again, 2-1. He was out to Mexican food on Cinco de Mayo and had some mole, which he didn't realize would contain some sort of nut, which he is allergic to. The 2-1, grounded toward short. It's a slow chopper, fielded by Sprinkle. He fires across his body to get Diamond. Not the most fleet of foot for the first out. So it's good to see that Diamond's okay. We actually walked and got coffee together this afternoon for a little afternoon pick-me-up. There's a beautiful shopping district over the right field concourse, a little quaint sort of antebellum southern street with a nice coffee shop. We got some coffee there. In fact, Dawson actually picked up my coffee tab, so I owe him one. But just a very kind person, Dawson Diamond, just an incredibly well-tempered, a great leader, someone who is behind the plate for a reason. He settles down the younger arms on this pitching staff. EJ Exposito is next to bat, and he takes a 77-mile-an-hour curveball for a strike. Exposito, 2-for-6 with three walks. He singled and walked twice on his birthday on Thursday. The 0-1 lined up the middle, threw for a base hit. And he indeed extends his hit streak now to 3 games. Just such a boost to have him in the lineup. He's played at second, he can play at short, and he can play at third base, although they think that keeping him in the middle infield is likely where they'll go long term. He does have that second baseman's build, the sort of Dustin Pedroia-esque size, 5'11", 190. And that'll bring up Andrew Keck. One on, one out, 1-0. Green Jackets on top here in the top of the second. The pitch to Keck is fouled off, playing in just his second game this series. Went 0-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout on Wednesday. Andrew Keck actually faced off with Drew McDaniel last year in the collegiate level when Keck's Southeast Missouri State hung 13 runs. And he'll foul this one off as well. It's 0-2. They won 13-3 in a game against Ole Miss, who obviously ended up winning the College World Series last year. Keck Tech led off the second inning in that game, got a single, stole second, and then stole third. And he told me he actually asked his college coach to send him the film from that game to help him prepare for today. The 0-2 pitch is grounded up the middle, could be a two ball. Second baseman is short for one on the first, double play. And that will retire the side. 4-6-3 is the double play for Keck, his second double play of the year. And this time, the former Missouri Ole Miss man, rather, triumphs over his former competitor back in college. To the bottom of the second we go, it is Green Jackets 1 and Kannapolis nothing on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Ale, yeah!
Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Bottom second here in Kannapolis. Green Jackets up 1-0. They do send up the minimum in the top of the inning despite Exposito's single. A double play from Keck sends them down in order. It'll be 4, 5, and 6. Willits, Claunch, and Tapia going up against J.R. Ritchie. Ritchie, so far this game, has only needed to throw 11 pitches to get the first three outs, as a slight delay here as Keck had to throw in a ball back to the dugout from right field. And we get back underway at the bottom of the second. The lefty Willits steps in and takes a ball up high at 92. Ritchie can sit anywhere from 92 to 96 on the fastball. He's also got a curveball, a changeup, and a slider. With the lefty at the plate here, he'll go changeup heavy as the 1-0 is socked up the middle for a base hit. The left fielder Werkinger picks it up and will throw in directly to the shortstop Tavares. So the first base hit of the day for Kannapolis is a leadoff knock for Willits, his fourth in the series. And that'll bring up Troy Claunch. Claunch, the former Texas A&M Aggie. A lot of SEC baseball players on the field tonight. It's certainly one of the stronger, if not the strongest, conference in college baseball. The pitch swung on and missed. He blew it by him at 94, a first pitch fastball. Talk about a challenge pitch there to open up an at bat. Claunch 2-for-7 with a walk and a strikeout this series. He and Pineda have been alternating in the five spot and behind the plate. Runner on first, the 0-1. Breaking ball, snap throw back down to first is not in time. It was taken outside for a ball. Richie's ERA now at 5.91. It's inflated from his second outing of the year at Myrtle Beach. He gave up 7 hits, 6 runs, 5 of which were earned. The 1-1 swung on and missed. Couldn't catch up to the fastball that time. Right down the chute. And it's 1-2. However, Richie told me that he thinks he pitched better in the outing where he gave up 6 runs and 7 hits than he did last time out, where he gave up just 2 runs and 3 hits. And I'll tell you why after this pitch. The 1-2. Swing and a miss, tipped into the glove of Dawson Diamond. And down on strikes goes Claunch, the second K of the day for Richie. In that outing in Myrtle Beach where he picked up his only decision of the year, the loss, it was a lot of soft contact those hits include a blooper down the right field line that the right fielder Celedonio dropped, a line drive to third that was incorrectly ruled a ground ball rather than a line drive. It could have gotten him out of the inning. The first pitch here to Leon Tapia is outside. Tapia 0 for 8 this series with 5 strikeouts. And Richie is a pretty cerebral guy. Talking to him, you really would not expect that he is just 19 years of age. Was pretty sanguine about his last outing as well. The 1-0 fouled off Dawson Diamond's shin pad, and that's going to be a painful one. As he's probably thinking, haven't I been through enough after needing the allergy medication last night? He's a warrior, though. He's got bags. The eyes are still puffy from yesterday. But he wanted to play, and play he is, as the umpire does a little veteran umpire move and brushes off the plate, which was already spotless. Anything to buy the guy more time. And umpires and catchers have a mutually symbiotic relationship, obviously. The catcher is the last line of defense, sort of like the windshield for the umpires. Runner on first, 1-1 count with one away. The runner's going. The pitch is taken for a strike. The throw to second is in time. Diamond showcases the hose, and he erases his fifth would-be base stealer of the season, and there is out number two. Crowd doesn't like it. Looked like he was out by about half a step there. Not a bad coaching move from Patrick Leland after the catcher maybe hurts himself a little bit on the knee to test his pop-up skills, but evidently, Diamond, none the worse for wear. Now the 1-2 pitch, waved at and missed. So Richie faces the minimum right after the Green Jackets send up the minimum. A single, but a caught stealing and a pair of Ks sends us to the top of the third. Green Jackets on top, 1-0. It'll be 9-1-2 due up when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Top of the third, Green Jackets up 1-0. Francisco Floyd, Collins, and Tavares are the three due up this half inning. Green Jackets on top, 1-0, a run on three hits. They have had a man aboard in each of the two frames so far. Kanapolis, no runs, one hit. And that caught stealing ended, or rather, provided the second out of the inning, the pitch before the eventual strikeout, which ended it. Floyd, the righty, due up, still working against McDaniel. The pitch is up and in. Floyd, in need of a little bit of luck. 1-for-19 with 13 strikeouts in the last 15 days. Scuffling at the plate. The 1-0. Breaking ball nearly gets him in the helmet again. Floyd is a very energetic and vibrant character in the dugout. The 2-0. Grounded off the end of the bat, up the middle and through for a base hit. So he is aboard to lead off the frame. As he stops at first, he is the fastest man on the team in terms of how fast he is clocked from out of the batter's box to first base. And he is aboard with another speedster, Tyler Collins, at the dish. So Floyd is on to begin the frame. 1-0 Green Jackets, top of the third. Tyler Collins drove the third pitch of the ball game down the left field line and ended up with a double. He scored on the next at bat. Floyd, a monster lead off of first, well outside of the cutout here. You have to throw over here, right, if you're McDaniel. And time is called. We've got a pitch clock violation here, and Floyd, by virtue of his lead, I think he just got in the head of McDaniel a little bit there, maybe thinking about when to throw over, and it is now 1-0 on Collins. Floyd, again, a huge lead. His right foot, the lead foot, is well outside that cutoff, and the pitch is swung on and missed. It's 1-1. The Green Jackets don't run a whole lot. They're in the bottom third of the Carolina League, the bottom four teams, when it comes to stolen base attempts. Throw all comes over to first, and he is out by a mile. The Green Jackets also lead the Carolina League in getting picked off. That is the seventh time they have been picked off this season, which is a pretty astonishing number. And you look at the fact that they've also scored the fewest runs in the league, although they are catching up. When you think about the fact they've had seven guys picked off as the 1-1 pitch is waved at and missed by Collins. They've had seven runners picked off this season. They've had four outs at home plate, and they have had four outs at third base. That's 15 base runners there, and the 1-2, line down the left field line, but foul. When runs are at a premium, you've got to be intelligent on the base paths. And intelligence is not always the enemy of aggression, but for the Green Jackets, it was, certainly in the month of April. 1-2, now no one on the pitch. Breaking ball outside for a ball 2-2. The 2-2 pitch to Collins, grounded to second. It's fielded on two hops by Sanchez, who throws to first in time. So now two away with no one on for Ambioris Tavares. Tavares now 6-for-17 this series with six runs batted in. His hit streak has already been pushed to four, a season high for him, and a six-game on-base streak is just one behind his season high. The pitch taken for a strike. Off-speed first to Tavares, who was hitting at one point 143 last week, and he has raised it to 220. The 0-1, taken in the dirt, 1-1. The Augusta hitting staff, particularly Connor Nairn, has worked with him to just change his stance. And every once in a while, he will break, and it's sort of a mental thing where he'll chase pitches out of the zone. The 1-1, swing and a miss, fastball at 93. But Tavares, of all the players who has improved most from week one to what we are now in week five, it has to be him in the conversation. The 1-2. Taken off the outside corner. Good take there, perhaps, by Tavares. It's 2-2. 1-0 Jackets here, top of the third. 7-8 to Upper Kannapolis in the bottom of the frame. Time called by Tavares. Full house tonight. Fans enjoying the ballpark from a 360 concourse. So there are standing room seats, or rather standing room railings, I suppose, all along the outfield wall. The 2-2, breaking ball, fouled off. That pitch was over the heart of the plate, but spinning down, and Tavares did a good job to keep the barrel of the bat in the zone and get a piece of it. Infield is deep, outfield at a medium depth with no one on and two away. The 2-2 takes it just low and away. That big looping curveball. That time it's 79. And the count goes full on Tavares, who's also taken three walks this series. The payoff pitch, he checks his swing. It rolls foul. Now it might roll fair, but instead it is played all the way next to the first base bag. Good baseball IQ there, by the way, from Tavares to run it out, because that ball was so slow off the bat. And on this infield dirt, you never know if it's going to roll fair. If that rolls fair, all that has to happen is the first baseman, Willits, just needs to tap on the bag, but instead it stayed foul all the way. I want to say Javier Baez once tried to blow a baseball foul. The 3-2. fouled off again. So a 7-pitch at-bat here for Tavares, who is seeing almost twice the number of pitches per plate appearance this series that he was in the opening week of the season. He saw just 3 pitches per at-bat in the first series against Down East. The 3-2, taken outside, ball 4. Great at-bat from Ambioris Tavares, who reaches for the second time in as many at-bats. Tavares now seeing just a tick under 5 pitches per plate appearance. And that'll bring up David McCabe. McCabe, a third-team All-American when he was playing 25 minutes down the road for the University of Charlotte 49ers. Technically the University of North Carolina Charlotte 49ers, but who's to say? The pitch is taken for a strike in the bottom of the zone. McCabe made some contact his last time up, but flew out to the left field wall. 0-14 this series with 7 strikeouts. Tavares on first, 1-0 the Green Jackets lead. The 0-1, swing and a miss, 0-2. No strikeouts on the line here for McDaniel through 2 2/3 innings of work. His next pitch will be his 50th as he looks to escape this third inning. Tavares a big lead on first. He's going. The 0-2 taken high for a ball. The throw to second is in time. The tag came down on the back of Tavares, who is sliding in head first, as he is the second base runner erased in the inning by a good throw from the catcher this time, Troy Klonsch. So to the bottom of inning number 3 we go. Green Jackets still up 1-0. It'll be the bottom of the order, 7, 8, and 9. Loriano, Weaver, and Sanchez do up when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Some things are just made for each other. Chips and dip, socks and shoes. They complete each other. And with Wow, you get the ultimate pair. Right now, save $30 a month when you bundle extra reliable internet and Wow TV Plus. And on select packages, get a free modem and up to 2 free Wow TV Plus boxes for a year. Call 833-WOW-SALE today. Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch2wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Bottom 3 here in Kannapolis. Green Jackets up 1-0. J.R. Ritchie has faced just 6 batters so far. Last inning, Bryce Willits led it off with a single, but then got caught stealing when Tapia was up to bat, and then Tapia struck out on the next pitch. So it'll be the 7-man Loriano, the righty, to step in, going up against J.R. Ritchie. The pitch is grounded to the first base side. Rather than third base side, it's going to roll foul. What a incredibly intelligent play there by Francisco Floyd. That ball started off in fair territory and was rolling fair about 60 feet past home plate towards the third base bag. Floyd nearly barehanded it. Instead, recognizing that Loriano was almost all the way at first base already, let it roll foul. And it clanged off the outside of the third base bag in foul territory. Or just missed the third base bag, I suppose. So it becomes strike 1. And that is baseball IQ there. We sort of talked about it at the top of the frame as well with Tavares' check swing. So the count's 0-1 on Loriano. The pitch is check swing, but he went around on a fastball down the pipe. And it is 0-2. Ritchie, 3 strikeouts through his first 2 innings of work, bringing him up to 21 in the season. And the 0-2 called third strike. Bottom of the zone. That is filthy. Got him with a change there. And it's strikeout number four for J.R. Richie. So Richie now up to 22 strikeouts. He has walked just two batters this year. And it doesn't take a mathematician to let you know that is an 11-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. As up to the plate is Cabrera Weaver. 2-for-8 this series with an RBI double. And he'll ground the first pitch foul. It actually comes all the way out to the pitcher's mound as it hit the batter's box and sort of died on the infield grass. Richie has struck out the last three batters he has faced. And Weaver has struck out three times this series. 0-1 the count. Infield is back with no one on. The 0-1 blew it by him at 94. That is the kind of sequencing that he has showcased since the first outing of the year. He knows his off-speed stuff really plays. The 0-2. Fouled off. Fastball there. Went back to the rising cheddar that time at 95, the highest we've seen from him today. He hit 96.3 back at SRP Park in his first outing. So still 0-2 on Weaver. The wind, the pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. Strikeout number five, and he has struck out four batters in a row now as he is operating on cruise control right now. He has delivered eight pitches this inning. They have all been strikes. And that'll bring up Wilbur Sanchez. Now, obviously, we know an immaculate inning is nine pitches, nine strikes, you know, in a row for three strikeouts. As taking the first pitch high and ruining this hypothetical is Wilbur Sanchez, 0-for-8 with two strikeouts this series. What if he pitched a 12-pitch inning where they were all strikes with a couple foul balls? In my mind, that seems like it's even harder. The 1-0, taken outside for a ball 2-0. In theory, you could have 3 4-pitch strikeouts where a guy fouls off, you know, a pitch per at-bat. Is it more impressive to throw nine straight strikes with all of them resulting in strikeouts or avoiding a ball over a larger period of time? You tell me. The 2-0 pitch, taken high for a ball 3-0. And ever since I brought up throwing strikes, Richie's missed with all three pitches here. No one on, two away in the bottom of the third. Green Jackets up 1-0. J.R. Richie has allowed just one hit through 2 2/3 innings of work. The 3-0, right down the middle with a fastball at 93. Well, he threw that one with some anger. Some guys take something off of it. On a 3-0 count, he did not. The 3-1, smoked foul and out of play. J.R. Richie lost one game his entire high school career in Bainbridge Island, Washington, and it was his freshman year. The 3-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. As he strikes out the side in order, he has struck out the last five batters he has faced. Six on the day. And we head to the top of the fourth, Green Jackets with a 1-0 lead on the Green Jackets Radio Network here in Kannapolis.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. GreenJacketsBaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and, of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit GreenJacketsBaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Top of inning number four in Kannapolis, Green Jackets on top 1-0. J.R. Richie has struck out the last five batters he has faced. Six strikeouts on the day. Green Jackets coming up to the plate here. They will have 3, 4, and 5. McCabe, Werkner, and Janis. As McCabe was at the dish with a 1-2 count when Tavares was caught stealing to end the third inning. So the Green Jackets actually sent three men up to plate. Two of them reached base last inning as McCabe will take ball one. Francisco Floyd got picked off of first. Tavares walked and then was caught stealing. 1-0 on McCabe. 0 for his last 14 here as the pitch is fouled off. Just a nubber towards the Kannapolis dugout down the first base line. The 1-1 doesn't get the zone up and away. Fastball that time from McDaniel. McDaniel up to 53 pitches through three innings plus David McCabe. The 2-1, looping breaking ball in for a strike, 77 miles an hour. The whole field now covered in shadow as the 2-2 taken up high. It goes to 3-2. The sun sets very quickly here behind some of the buildings. The 3-2, swung and a miss, strike three. McCabe strikes out for the eighth time this series. He is now 0 for his last 15 with eight strikeouts. As that'll bring up Ethan Werkinger. It does produce a beautiful golden hour aura here. Just very pretty lighting. The brick buildings in left center field are illuminated as Werkinger steps in and takes a strike. Werkinger grounded out 6-3 his first time up on a hit and run where Tavares got safely to second. The 0-1 breaking ball just misses on the upper inside part of the plate. 9-game hit streak for the man they call EQ. The 1-1 fouled off, stuck with a fastball that time, and he poked it away. The pitch, lined to the alley in right center field. It's deep as well. It's going to land in the alley in the triangle. Werkinger is going to hit second. He has eyes for third. It'll be his second triple of the series as he is in standing up. He got to third base before the throw got to the cutoff man in the outfield. If that's hit to any other part of the park, it's a home run. That was probably 380 feet off the bat. Look at that, 379 feet, 6 inches. Nothing as validating as when you're 6 inches away. And he is on third with one away. So it's a two-triple series for Ethan Werkinger, who has poured it on up to 10 games now on his hit streak. For Justin Janis in the box, who will fly the first pitch down the line, but foul. Really, all it would have taken is another bobble, and I think Werkinger gets the wave around to home plate there as well. The 0-1 to Janis is outside and low for a ball 1-1. Werkinger this series is now up to 6 for 17 with a homer, two triples, and a double. The 1-1 taken low. And in Werkinger's last 15 days, he's hitting .333 coming into this in his last 15 days with an OPS over 1,000. The 2-1 swung on and missed by Janis. So 2-2, Green Jackets up 1-0 here in the top of the fourth. They have five hits, however, and a runner at third with a 2-2 count and one away. The 2-2 fouled off by Janis. You almost get the feeling for the Green Jackets that they want to get through this inning and get J.R. Ritchie back out on the mound. The 2-2. Fouled off, and that one was pretty close to our booth. Myself and Dan Helody, the broadcaster and media relations director here for Kannapolis, both put our hands up to reach for it, but no dice. So So still 2-2, working through a very shallow lead at third. The infield in. The pitch lined up the middle for a base hit. It's an RBI single as Janis hits first, takes the turn, and the Green Jackets have doubled their lead. It is now 2-0 Augusta in the top of the fourth. Workinger scores easily as Janis continues his productive month of May. And that's going to bring a visit here from the catcher, Troy Klaunch, to talk to Drew McDaniel. It hasn't really mattered who has been on the mound, though, for Kannapolis this series. The Green Jackets have been torching everyone. The only exception to that was Mason Adams, who yesterday pitched four innings of relief, struck out nine batters. He needed just 28 pitches to strike out nine batters, which is just absurd. He was dealing, but the damage had been done as the Green Jackets picked up the win yesterday 6-5. They allowed a run to score in the bottom of the eighth, but closed it out courtesy of Jorge Bautista, who picked up his second win of the year. So up to the dish now is Dawson Diamond. Workinger already across in this frame. Janis on first. Janis has a stolen base so far this series. The pitch, breaking ball taken low. Diamond grounded out to short to begin the second inning. The 1-0. Breaking ball. Diamond was out in front of it in his mind and ended up taking it for a strike. You could see him lift his front foot there as if to swing with the bat. Just didn't follow him through the zone. The 1-1. Fastball thrown with some real oomph, but it's taken low at 90 miles an hour. As a pitcher begins to stretch in the dugout for Kannapolis. The 2-1. Fouled off. Getting up and loose is Johnny Ray, a native of Quincy, Illinois, which is the home of a Division II school, Quincy College, that has produced a couple of pretty good baseball players, especially for a small D2 school in the middle of Illinois. The 2-2, taken high. That was way up and away. So a 3-2 count, Janis on first with one away. Janis is going. The pitch is taken for a called third strike. The throw down to second is not in time. Janis ended up getting a good pitch to steal on as it was a breaking ball, but Dawson Diamond strikes out looking. Janis takes second on the stolen base, and it'll bring up E.J. Exposito, who singled back in the third. Excuse me, back in the second. Expo takes a pitch for a strike. Two nothing the score in the top of the fourth. Green Jackets on top with the runner in scoring position. The 0-1 outside for a ball, 1-1. Exposito 3-for-7 with three walks this series now, meaning he has reached in 60% of his at-bats against the Cannonballers, playing in his third game of the series. The 1-1. Breaking ball socked to deep right field. Going back is Laureano. He is at the track, at the wall, and he reaches up and makes the catch with his back on the LED sign. Exposito comes up a few feet short of his third homer of the year. But the Green Jackets do tack on another as we head to the bottom of the fourth. It is Green Jackets 2, Kannapolis 0 on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
For the early-to-rise road trippers, the late-night truck drivers, or even the bucket-list-checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Drunk drivers, put it out of your mind. Perish the thought, there's no comfort in responsibility. Drunk drivers, drunk drivers.
Mixing in a little car seat headrest on this Saturday evening here in Kannapolis, where the Green Jackets are up 2-0 through 3.5. The only way to describe what J.R. Ritchie has been doing so far tonight on the mound is capital S shoving. 6 strikeouts, he's faced 9 batters, he's given up just 1 hit. He has been wheeling, dealing, and you know the rest. Top of the order, due up. Jordan Sprinkle, Brooks Baldwin, Tim Elko. Sprinkle struck out to begin the bottom of the first. Infield is back with a 2-0 Green Jackets lead. The first pitch is lined down the left field line, but right at the left fielder Werkinger, who moves over to his left and makes the catch. It actually trailed a little bit towards the alley at the end. So one pitch, one out for J.R. Ritchie, who at just 35 pitches now through 3 1/3, is giving us far and away his best professional outing of his career. He pitched just 2 innings in the complex last year after being drafted and signed before coming up to Augusta. Lefty Brooks Baldwin next up to bat. The pitch is taken for a strike at the bottom of the zone. In his time in Augusta at the end of last season, he had a couple, just 3 outings, but suffered a little bit from first-year pro jitters. The command wasn't totally there. The 0-1. Swing and a miss and a changeup down and in. And Baldwin actually swung himself out of the batter's box there. I mean, Ritchie is just giving them fits in the batter's box so far. The fourth inning has been his danger inning so far this year. It has been where all of his runs allowed have come from through his first 3 starts. But he's got Baldwin with 8 hits already this series and an 0-2 count. The pitch waved at and missed. Strike 3, got him on a changeup low and away. The changeup to lefties has been lethal, and Ritchie picks up strikeout number 7, and there are 2 away. Atlanta just hit a home run. Taking on the Orioles, looking to make amends for last night's loss. Tim Elko steps in and takes a fastball wide for a ball. Elko grounded out to the second baseman Exposito to end the first. The Major League Braves last night lost 9-4 to Baltimore, who are continuing their renaissance. The 1-0 misses down and away 2-0. The AL East has 3 of the 5 top teams in baseball right now by record. As Diamond calls timeout to talk to Ritchie, who has missed with 2 straight pitches here, knowing that Elko is a pitcher who will capitalize on the stakes. The Rays, obviously, with the best record in Major League Baseball. The Orioles and the Red Sox, also in the top 5 at 3-5, respectively. The Red Sox can make it 8 straight wins tonight. They take on Atlanta starting on Monday night at Truist Park. We've got the umpire coming out to the mound, and the pitching coach, Wes McGuire, is coming out, as well as trainer Jesus Aviles. That's not what you want to see here with the entire infield coming in. Ritchie is talking on the mound, and they've drawn a crowd here with the umpire. Diamond called timeout immediately and went out to talk, and Ritchie talking through his glove right now to the trainer. Well, Ritchie is going to leave the game. Well, that is not what you want to see. J.R. Ritchie is going to leave the game, and they are going to get a pitcher up and throw it. As Ritchie will depart to the locker room, as he looks like he is in some pretty serious discomfort. We'll take a break on the Green Jackets Radio Network with Ellis and Joseph coming in to pitch.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of minor league baseball.
Welcome back here, where Ellis and Joseph is warming up. We're trying to get some more news on the injury. As the Green Jackets are up 2-0. But scary scenes. So for the first time this season, a Green Jackets player leaves the game early as Joseph will be called in. He will be pitching his second game here in this series. So Tim Elko resumes his at-bat. It is a 2-0 count as we are here in the bottom of inning number 4. Green Jackets up 2-0 with Joseph now on the mound. The pitch is high for a ball. Now, interestingly enough, if this at-bat finishes with a walk, the walk gets charged to J.R. Ritchie. However, if it finishes in a strikeout, Ellis and Joseph would get credit for the strikeout, one of the weird quirks of baseball scoring. Doesn't matter because Joseph walks him with two pitches, so Elko is aboard for the first time today. So the lefty, Bryce Willits, is at the dish, and he will take the first pitch high. Some of the energy was sort of sapped after the injury and the long pause, and it's a shame because not only is J.R. Ritchie a great person, but he was dealing the best starting outing of the year for the Green Jackets by far. We won't technically know his final line until the inning is over. As the count is 2-0 here on Willits, Joseph yet to deliver a strike. The pitch in the zone at 90. But Richie, 3 2/3 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. And the walk was an outing that, or rather an at-bat that he didn't even finish. The pitch, driven deep to right field. This one is way out of here. And we are all tied up at 2. The first homer the Green Jackets have allowed this series comes off the bat of Bryce Willits, and we are all tied up. Stepping in and taking a strike is Troy Klaunch. 103 miles an hour off the bat, 393 feet. And we are all tied up at 2. Klaunch 0 for 1 with the strikeout. The pitch swung on and missed. It's 0-2. Two away, no one on. Brand new ballgame, 2-2. The pitch is taken high. We are going to get Johnny Ray into pitch in the top of the fifth for Kannapolis. The 1-2. Grounded towards short. Tavares fields, throws, and gets him. But not a good inning for Augusta for a number of reasons. They give up a 2-run home run to Bryce Willits, but J.R. Ritchie leaves the game with an injury as we head to the top of inning number 5. Green Jackets and Kannapolis now tied at 2 on the Augusta Green Jackets Radio Network.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of minor league baseball.
I'm the voice inside your head.
Top of the fifth, we're all tied up at 2 apiece. Unfortunately, J.R. Ritchie gets charged with one earned run because of the 2-run home run. The walk that happened on the at-bat that he left in the middle of is on his ledger, and so he picks up an earned run after all, which is tremendously unfortunate and not at all reflective of the outing that he had. So Johnny Ray, the former Quincy University Hawk, comes into the game. I mentioned before that there were a couple of Quincy University Hawks out there. I knew one of them personally, Graham Spraker, sort of an unknown, was a 39th round draft pick back in 2018 by the Blue Jays, was eventually an Arizona Fall League All-Star last year, and then acquired by the Tampa Bay Rays in minor league free agency, who seemed to do whatever it takes to just acquire the most pitchers possible. Spraker now with Double-A Montgomery. He had gotten as high as Triple-A as well. With Johnny Ray on the mound, he'll have Keck leading it off, and Keck will take strike one at 92. Funky movement from Ray. He holds his elbow really high, almost similar to Derek Lowe, the old Red Sox closer. The 0-1, fouled off 0-2. Keck grounded into a 4-6-3 double play. Francisco Floyd, who singled and then was picked off, is on deck. Collins, who's 1-for-2, is in the hole. The pitch, swing and a miss. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, as Keck strikes out to begin this frame. Floyd, 1-for-1, takes the first pitch low at 92. Interestingly enough, and I'm not sure exactly what causes this, the starter, Drew McDaniel, was throwing at around the same velocity with the fastball, but not popping the mitt with the same sound. The 1-0. Swing and a miss at a high fastball at 94. So that's actually a little bit faster than what McDaniel was working with. What we've seen so far from Johnny Ray is similar velocity and a lot louder noise in the glove. Who knows? The 1-1, swing and a miss, another high fastball at 92. Floyd has chased a couple of times now. The 1-2, taken low into the dirt, 2-2. The 2-2 pitch, taken low into the dirt. So Floyd has now worked the count full after going behind 1-2. The payoff pitch, grounded through to the right side for another base hit. Francisco Floyd is 2-for-2. And at the risk of belaboring the point, Thursday afternoon, I talked with Ambioris Tavares. I told him that today was the day he was going to hit a home run. He hits a home run. Yesterday, I talk with Mekhi Backstrom. I say, today is the day you're hitting your first home run. In the locker room this afternoon, Francisco Floyd, he and I talked yesterday evening after the game. I talked to him and I said, Floyd, today's the day. As Tyler Collins takes the first pitch in the dirt for a ball, I said, today's the day you're going to get two hits and a stolen base. Well, we're two-thirds of the way there. All he needs to do is grab a bag. And then I'll begin to start wondering if I should start aiming bigger with my prophecies. But the count's 1-0 on Collins. The pitch, a snap throw down to first, and he is going to be just safe. Floyd nearly got picked off for the second time today. The count is 2-0. Floyd's going. The pitch is swung on and missed. The throw to second is a terrible one, and it's well late. That was an awkward throw. I almost wonder if he spiked it a little bit to Troy Klontz because it didn't exit his hand cleanly. I mean, it bounced just past the pitcher's mound. The pitch was in for a strike. We've got time called here as Klontz and Ray are maybe going to go over some signals now and try to change it up perhaps with the runner on second. So Floyd does steal his base, and I have now gone 3-for-3, and that is just, I mean, tomorrow I may as well guess that I'm gonna, you know, win the lottery or something. Human fortune teller Nathan Strauss. It is getting kind of ridiculous, and I know that obviously, you know, all good things must end, but it's been a pretty hot run. The 2-1, taken low into the dirt, 3-1. Floyd had a big secondary there as well, and he scampers back to the bag. Pickoff throw coming over to second, not in time. As dropping the ball was the shortstop sprinkle. I don't think they would have had him had he held onto it either. So still 3-1 with the base open at first. We're all tied up at 2 here in the top of the fifth. The pitch is fouled off the roof, right over our head. The payoff pitch is taken low, ball 4. He lost him, he had him, and he lost it. And there are now 2 aboard for Ambiorix Tavares. Tavares, the only Green Jackets player to reach twice after Francisco Floyd singled and then stole second. Actually, now that I say that, I realize that Collins just reached for a second time as well in his third at bat. So 2 aboard with 1 away in the top of the fifth. We're all tied up at 2. Tavares will take the first pitch for a strike. The 2-run homer in the bottom of the fourth gets McDaniel off the hook. Green Jackets got 1 in the first and 1 in the fourth. The 0-1 taken down and in. The Green Jackets do have their 2 fastest men on base right now. And having just seen the funky throw from Clonch, you wonder if they might be inclined to put 2 runners in motion with a good hitter Tavares at the dish. One and one the count with 1 away. The pitch, checked his swing, going for third, and out is, oh, he's safe! Francisco Floyd is called safe. I thought they had him dead to rights by a mile. And manager Patrick Leyland comes steaming out of the dugout, and he is not pleased. I mean, it looked like he was out by 2 or 3 feet. Unless they're saying that Floyd managed to swim move around it here, Leyland is really getting mad. He's starting to point. You wonder if this might be a good time for a sort of character ejection here from Leyland. I mean, he is really going at it, and he's been given a long leash here, and he's going back and still arguing, and he's going back to the dugout. The crowd, I think, appreciative of Patrick Leyland going out to have a stern chat there. Now runners on the corners. The count's 1-2. Collins on first, and stepping off the mound is Ray. Love to get another look at that video, because it did look like Floyd was out by quite some distance. The 1-2, taken outside 2-2. So typical first and third defense here with one away. The middle infield is playing at double play depth where the corners are in. Collins, a 3-step lead off of first. 2-2 the score. The pitch, swung on and missed. Blew it by Tavares, who strikes out for the first time today, and there are 2 away. So Floyd picks up 2 stolen bases, bringing his season total to 3. As David McCabe now up to the dish with 2 on. Delayed steal in progress here. There will be no throw down to second. Collins had that bag easily, even if Clonch decides to let it go, because he got an excellent jump. It'll become his 10th stolen base of the season. He is now 10 for 10. So no more force out. The infield will go back with 2 away. The pitch was low for a ball to McCabe. McCabe 0 for 2. The pitch bounced up there, blocked well by Clonch, and it is 2-0. McCabe 0 for 15 this series with 8 strikeouts. He is just 3 for his last 44, looking to break a monstrous slump. Batting .068 in the last 2 weeks. The 2-0. That'll do it. He lines it into left center field for a base hit. One run is home. The second runner, Collins, is being waved. McCabe is caught between first and second, and he will come back to first, but two runs are in, and David McCabe breaks out of an 0-for-15 slump with a 2-RBI single. He was due, and the Green Jackets retake a 2-run lead. Baseball is a game of averages, and for a hitter who was at one point well over 300, he knew things were bound to bounce back. As his first hit of the series is a 2-run single, Collins and Floyd, who stole a 3 combined bases, both come in to score. It's 4-2 Augusta as Werkinger takes ball one. McCabe nearly got himself in a pickle there as well. The 1-0. Taken for a strike. Werkinger 1-for-2. He tripled his last time up. Werkinger now hitting .276. He has been remarkably consistent. The 1-1. Checked his swing but didn't go. Good sliding block by Clonch in the dirt. The 2-1. Socks to left field. If it's fair, it is gone. It is foul. He got a hold of that one not too far away from where he hit his third home run of the year the other day. Only 321 feet. Although, I think 321 is enough to get it out. It's only 315 down the lines to each corner here. Werkinger broke his bat on that play, by the way. So Werkinger gets a fresh twig, and we'll try and maybe replicate that last swing with a different eventual compass. McCabe still on first. And the pitch swung on and missed strike three. But the Green Jackets get two more, courtesy of David McCabe's 2-RBI single. To the bottom of the fifth we go. Green Jackets up 4-2 on the Augusta Green Jackets Radio Network.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of minor league baseball.
Here in Kannapolis, Green Jackets now up 4-2. Ellison Joseph returns to the mound. He came in with a 2-ball count and 2 away in the bottom of the fourth after J.R. Ritchie left the game. He gave up a walk and then a 2-run home run, but he now has a 2-run cushion to play with once again. He'll have Leon Tapia up first, and Tapia grounds the first pitch to third. Francisco Floyd guns across the diamond and gets him. One pitch, one out. To begin the bottom of the frame. Elsewhere around the organization, Bowling Green just knocked off the high A affiliate, the Rome Braves. Former Green Jacket Rob Griswold took the loss. Stepping in and taking a fastball high is Genabiel Laureano. Laureano struck out his first time up. Batters 5 through 9 in this lineup all struck out to J.R. Ritchie the first time through the order. The 1-0. Down and in. And it goes to 2-0. Pitch up and in. Ooh, buzz the towers, and it's 3-0. 97 there from Joseph. You can really gun it up there. He's hit 99. And again, the stuff is there. The command and control are not always there so far this season. The 3-0 pitch is up and in. Ball 4. So a 4-pitch walk after getting Toppy at a ground out to begin the frame. And there's a runner aboard for Cabrera Weaver. Cabrera Weaver struck out his first time up. 2 for 9 this series as Laureano takes his base. 4-2 here in the bottom of the fifth. The pitch is bunted down the first base line, but foul. I guess they'll say it's a... So they say it's a foul ball. Diamond threw on to first. The 0-1. Line to left field. A base hit. It's going all the way to the corner. The runner from first, Laureano, hits third. They put on the stop sign as he is held there. It is a double for Weaver, his second double of the series. And the tying run is on second now with just one out in the frame. Laureano gets to third. And Wilbur Sanchez is next up. So runners on second and third now with one away. And we've got action in the Green Jackets bullpen. Adam Shoemaker warming up. The pitch fouled off. He was out in front there. Sanchez struck out. 0 for 9 this series with 3 strikeouts. There is the possibility, of course, of a productive out with a runner on third and one away. The 0-1. Tipped into the mid of Diamond. In fact, the swing might have got a little bit of him there on the backswing as well. And it's 0-2. Green Jackets up 4-2 with runners on second and third. The 0-2 way up high at 97. That one almost went all the way to the backstop. The Green Jackets yet to commit an error tonight. Yesterday, they committed 4 and still were able to win. The 1-2. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Blew it by him there with a sinker. And there are 2 down now with the top of the order coming up. So sprinkle at the dish. He flew out to left and struck out so far today, but he will take a strike to begin this at-bat. Sprinkle, known for his defense, was a projected first-round pick going into last year's college season, but then struggled at the plate, hit 240. The 0-1. Way up high, it's going to go to the backstop. The runner is going to score as everyone will advance a base and be safe. It is a 4-3 ball game. Well, Joseph had a very high fastball that Diamond was able to stop on the last at bat. We'll wait to see how this one is scored, but a high fastball at 96 that goes all the way to the netting should probably be a wild pitch in my book. It is indeed a wild pitch in the official scorer's book as well. And the tying run is now 90 feet from home plate. 1-1 the count to Sprinkle. The pitch swung on, fouled into the dugout of Kannapolis, and making a barehanded play on it is Blake Hickman, the pitching coach. So Joseph, a strike away as Sprinkle steps back in the box. The 1-2. Way high, dropped by Diamond. Runner's going to try for home plate. The throw is not in time. And we are all tied up. That's going to be a pass ball on Dawson Diamond. It was in his mitt. It fell out of it. And very aggressive was Cabrera Weaver. So we're all tied up on a wild pitch and a passed ball on the same at-bat. And the count's 2-2. And the pitch is sliced foul out of play. A little bit of sloppiness here from the Green Jackets. Actually, it'll go down as a wild pitch instead. So back-to-back wild pitches by Ellison Joseph have scored two runs here. The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. So Joseph strikes out two, but during the at-bat in which he strands, or rather ends the inning, two runs come in to score on wild pitches. We'll keep it here between innings. We go to the top of the sixth, all tied up at four. Back we come here to the top of inning number six. A new pitcher on the mound, and the first pitch is flown into shallow left center field by Justin Janis. The left fielder will give way to Weaver in center, and there is out number one. We're all tied up at four following two wild pitches by Ellison Joseph in the bottom of the fifth. Fronder Veros is the pitcher who comes into the game. Veros will have Dawson Diamond up next. Diamond steps in and takes the first pitch outside. Veros worked an inning and two-thirds on Wednesday. He hit two batters and walked one, but struck out one and did not allow a hit or a run. The 1-0 fouled off, and it's 1-1. Diamond so far today 0-2, a grounded and a strikeout. The 1-1 taken up and away, 2-1. Green Jackets, 4 runs on 8 hits with 3 left so far. The 2-1 pitch, down in the dirt. And the only reason the number of men left on bases or hasn't been higher is because two guys got picked off in the third inning. So 3-1, hitters count to Dawson Diamond, yet to record his first homer of the year, but it's not far away. 3-1 pitch. Checked his swing on a pitch that is in the zone. It's 3-2. This is the sixth outing of the season for Veras. The 3-2, fouled off. Veras, 24 years of age, out of Santo Domingo. Yet to pick up a decision this year. Has given up 5 earned runs on the year, but none since April 14th. His last 3 outings have all been clean from a runs perspective. Time is called here, and Diamond will step out of the box. You can never tell with... when umpires step out from behind the plate these days, whether they're granting time or whether they're calling a pitch clock violation. This time, fortunately for the Green Jackets, it was just timeout given. No one on, one out, the 3-2. Fouled off again. Diamond will see an 8th pitch this at-bat. So again, 3-2 the count to the catcher, Dawson Diamond. The pitch is grounded up the middle, but right to the second baseman, Sanchez, who sidearms over to first for the out. And there's two away now for EJ Exposito. Exposito, 1-for-2. He flew out to the wall in right center field his last time up, singled his first time. Exposito takes an off-speed pitch for a strike at 83. Adam Shoemaker sat back down. We'll see if that means Joseph is the man to pitch in the bottom of the sixth. The 0-1 swung on and missed, 0-2. The 0-2 pitch, taken outside for a ball by Exposito. In the bottom of the frame, it'll be Baldwin, Elko, and Willits, 2, 3, and 4, due up. Willits, the cleanup man, homered in the bottom of the fourth off of Joseph. The pitch, fouled off by Exposito, remains 1-2. Two away, no one on, tie ball game. The 1-2 is a breaking ball at the bottom of the zone for a called third strike. A 1-2-3 inning for Veras, and we head to the bottom of the sixth. All tied up at 4 on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. GreenJacketsBaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit GreenJacketsBaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's just people are complaining.
Too bad!
You know, they want to know if you guys can maybe try tuning up again or
no.
Play on the beat and just do it right.
No!
Bottom of the sixth in Kannapolis, North Carolina. We're all tied up at 4-4. Adam Shoemaker is indeed on out of the bullpen to replace Ellison Joseph. Joseph was a little bit off his game today. Joseph's final line, 1 3 innings of work, 2 hits, 3 runs all earned, a walk, 2 strikeouts. He gave up a homer. And he allowed 2 runs to score on 2 wild pitches. So he shot himself in the foot a little bit. As Brooks Baldwin steps up to the plate, a little conversation between the home plate umpire, Chris Jenke, and the third base coach slash manager, Patrick Wayland. So Baldwin, the switch hitter, bats this time as a righty. He took the first 2 at-bats lefty. Shoemaker, one of his 2 lefties on the staff, and Shoemaker gets a first pitch grounder to third. Floyd charges, throws, and gets him by a step and a half. For the second straight inning, 1 pitch and 1 out with a ground out to third. And that'll bring up Tim Elko. 0-for-1, he walked and scored. His last time up, he grounded out to second in the first. Elko, the reigning Carolina League Player of the Month, is just 3-for-18 this series, which is about 175. In fact, I think it might be exactly 175. Let's see. 166. Close enough. Elko takes a strike. Elko, as you would expect from a very good hitter, has absolutely annihilated left-handed pitching, going all the way back to his college days. The 0-1 off the plate for a ball. Elko against lefties this year, hitting .357 with a home run, and the pitch is swung on and missed. It's 1-2. His OPS, on-base percentage plus slugging against lefties, is 1.043. A good OPS is 800. The 1-2 misses in the dirt, 2-2. The 2-2 pitch, lined in the center field. It's going to get down for a base hit. The left fielder comes to cut it off, Werkinger, and Elko is going to be held to a soft, shallow single. But again, a runner is aboard here, as there is now 1 on and 1 out. Bryce Willits, who has already reached twice today, a single and a homer, is next to the plate. Willits, a lefty, is going to be facing a lefty for the first time tonight. All tied up here, 4-4. The pitch is up and away at 93. Willits against lefties this year, just 167, 1-for-6 with a strikeout and a walk. The 1-0, fouled off. He was out in front that time, and it's 1-1. It is now completely dark here, 8:45 p.m. on this Saturday night. The 1-1 pitch in the dirt, blocked by Diamond. The 2-1, lined at the shortstop, at the second baseman, rather, who throws to first to try and get Elko and double him up. Exposito is the man who made that play. His throw went off the back of the helmet of Elko, and that's going to bring the manager over just to check on him with the trainer. Not the hardest of throws from Exposito there, but anytime you take one on the helmet, it'll ring your bell a little bit. Thank you. So it becomes a line out to the second baseman for Willits. So Elko looks content to remain in the game. 4-4, the score, bottom of the sixth. We're all tied up with a runner on first and two away. Clonch, 0-2, a strikeout and a ground out. Elko, not a threat to run on first. And the first pitch is grounded to third. Floyd will take the long route and go to first for the out. That retires the side. So a single, but nothing else. As we are through six, all tied up at 4-2. The seventh we go. Green Jackets and Kannapolis Cannonballers all square on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those, too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks, too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates, or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
Back here in Kannapolis for the top of the seventh inning. In traditional minor league baseball style, there is a shirtless man participating in an interpretive ribbon dancing contest on the first base side. And I think he's going to come away with the victory in this competition by virtue of perhaps shedding the tarp. We're all tied up at 4 through 6 full innings. As it'll be 8-9-1 due up. Andrew Keck set to lead it off. He is 0-2, a ground out into a double play and a strikeout. Floyd, who's 2-2, is on deck. Fronder Veras got him 1-2-3 in his first inning of work. The first pitch, inside and low for a ball. Fronder Rafael Veras, now into his ninth inning of work on the season, delivers the 1-0. Swing and a miss, got Keck to chase a low changeup. Keck hitting 188, had two-hit games last week. The 1-1. Popped up, foul territory, behind home plate, but it's going to get over the netting. And it goes right off the hand of a fan, and a fan behind him ends up with the souvenir. The fan is in a blue cap. He's examining his hand as if to say, how did I not catch that? I don't know, bud. Oil up the glove next time. And it's 1-2 on Keck. It's a can of corn. You're not going to get a much more easy chance to take home a souvenir than that. 1-2 on Keck. And the pitch is driven to right field. The right fielder, Laureano, has it in his tracks and makes the catch. Soft fly out there for Keck, who is now 0-3. So Francisco Floyd next to the plate. Floyd 2-2. Two singles, two stolen bases. He scored at what was the go-ahead run. Going up against the righty Fronder Veras. The pitch, breaking ball inside. Veras yet to allow a base runner. He has seen four. And retired four. Green Jackets have four runs on eight hits. Just 4-4 for 4-4-4. Haha. For Kannapolis. The 1-0 bounced into an 0. If you watch Francisco Floyd at the plate, you'll notice he does a little Juan Soto-esque shuffle after taking a ball where he sort of keeps his legs spread wide apart. Just a little routine that you pick up from him. 2-0. The pitch taken off the outside corner for a ball. Floyd trying to reach base for the third time today. The pitch taken up and in, ball four. So a four pitch walk to the nine man Francisco Floyd as he is aboard for the third time. Instantly a threat to run, although with a pitcher who's got some good velo, makes it a little bit harder. There is a shuffle in the dugout, but no arm forming just yet. Veras only at 22 pitches. The lefty Tyler Collins next up to the plate, 1-for-2. A double, a ground out, and a walk with a stolen base in there too. The pitch to Collins in the zone for a strike. One thing that really irked me about the Green Jackets in the first three series of the season is they would take a four or a five pitch walk and immediately swing at the first pitch of the next at bat. Learning to let pitchers find the zone again as the pickoff throw comes over to first, not in time. It just lets you see more pitches, and hey, if the guy misses with that first pitch, you're already ahead in the count, and then you can really make the pitcher scream a little bit on the mound. Squeam? Squirm. That's the word. It's a long week for all of us up here. The runner's going. The pitch, line down the left field line, but foul and off the wall in the picnic area. I think Floyd had that bag with a good jump. Oh, and 2, the count on Collins. Again, Floyd leads off of first. The pitch, fouled off. Collins just got a piece of a 94-mile-an-hour heater. So again, the 0-2. The runner's going. The pitch taken high and outside. It's a pitch out, and he is out. Well, we haven't seen that this year, but I'm almost positive that is a designed pitch out there. It's a fastball way up in the zone and off the plate. Perfect for Claunch to pop up and throw down. And pretty sure that was a called play put into motion there, and it ends up in the second out of the inning. So Floyd caught stealing and the 1-2 outside for a ball to Collins. I'll be singing the seventh inning stretch, take me out to the ball game, as soon as this half inning concludes. The 2-2, taken low. So a full count with two away. 4-4 the score in the top of the second. And we've got time called at the very last second, and it's going to be a pitch clock violation, ball four. So second walk of the inning, I suppose, for Collins, or rather for Veras. It's Collins' second walk of the game. He's on base now for the third time. And it'll bring up Ambioris Tavares. A single, a walk, and a strikeout for him today, along with a caught stealing and an RBI. Again, an eventful line for him, as it tends to be. Runner on first, tie game. First pitch, Tavares is up in the zone, taken for a ball. The 1-0, up high, snap throw to first, not in time. 2-0 to Tavares. Again, a big lead for Collins. The pitch swung on and missed. Boy, did he take a hack at that or what, but he sort of lost himself in the process. The runner goes. The pitch is taken inside for a ball. The throw down is not in time. Oh, wow. I mean, he was safe clearly. And they're going to say the tag was applied on the foot. I mean, that could be a makeup call, but everyone assumed he was safe. But I've got to go sing. So we'll keep it here, I suppose, for the seventh inning stretch. Back here for the bottom of the seventh. Unfortunately for you guys who just had to hear me sing, you now have to hear me talk. I'm not sure which is worse, but anyways, you're subjecting yourself to a Saturday night minor league radio broadcast, so the joke's on you. Tied up at four here, Adam Shoemaker remains on the mound as Sweet Caroline plays. A little bit of Fenway down south. First pitch of the inning, fouled into the mid of Dawson Diamond by Leont Tapia. We've got an arm warming in the bullpen for Kannapolis. The 0-1 is in at the bottom of the zone, 0-2. Pitch swung on and missed. Three pitch strikeout to begin the frame. And as the Green Jackets went to throw it around the horn, Dawson Diamond threw it over Francisco Floyd's head and it goes all the way down to left field corner. Stepping in is Janabio Laureano. He takes a ball to begin his at bat. The 1-0 misses down and in. The 2-0 driven on a line to deep right field. Does it have the juice? It is off the wall. Laureano hits first. He is digging for two. He is going to stay at second with a stand-up double. He nearly had a home run. Instead, he'll settle for extra bases. ...102 miles an hour off the bat there. And that'll bring up Weaver, who is 1-for-2. A double, a run, and a strikeout. With the go-ahead run on second base. First pitch fouled off. 0-1. Weaver swings and misses, foul tipped through the legs of Diamond. Lucky he got a piece there because they ended up skipping all the way to the backstop. The 0-2, grounded in fair territory, and it hits the batter. We'll see if they give that as a foul ball, and it looks like they will. Diamond is going to come out to the mound here and talk to Shoemaker. Interesting amounts of noise from various areas of the stadium. Some feisty children, perhaps. The two-strike pitch swung on and missed. High heater ran away from the batter as Weaver strikes out for the second time today. Now there's two away for Wilbur Sanchez. 0-10 with four strikeouts this series. The go-ahead run on second. The score, bottom seven. The pitch is swung on and missed. Boy, was he fooled on that. An 81-mile-an-hour change. Shoemaker typically just fastball, slider, changeup. His slider sits 80 to 82. I'm not sure if that was a slider or a changeup when all is said and done. The 0-1 up and away. Tried to ring another one past him, but he missed up and away. Infield shifted over. We've got time called here by Shoemaker. The righty Sanchez, they're playing him to pull, so the third baseman Floyd guarding the line, and the outfield is in that direction as well. The pitch is down and in just by a little bit. There is a base open at first, but the top of the order would be up next. The pitch is outside, and it's now 3-1. Missed badly with a breaking ball. Shoemaker had his first bad outing of the year on Wednesday's day game. He only went one inning. The pitch way outside, ball four. So now first and second, and it'll bring up Jordan Sprinkle, who's 0-3, two strikeouts and a flyout. And the first pitch misses away. 1-0 with the go-ahead run on second base and two away here in the bottom of the seventh. The pitch taken outside, and now it is five straight balls thrown by Shoemaker. Might be a decent time for a mound visit given the situation. They're going to let Shoemaker try and work it out. The 2-0 gets the zone 2-1. The 2-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Had him swinging out of the batter's box and a breaking ball. So 2-2 with two away and two on. The pitch is just outside, and the count goes full. So two aboard and two away. The runners will be in motion. The pitch is in the dirt. It goes all the way to the backstop. Diamond has to hustle after it. And the bases are loaded with two away. Diamond gets to it to prevent any further advance. Bases are juiced. Laureano, who doubled, is on third base as Wes McGuire, the pitching coach, comes out to talk with Shoemaker. Sanchez and Sprinkle both walked, and they are on second and first base, respectively. Brooks Baldwin, coming into today, was 8-for-17 in the series. He is now 8-for-20, which is still an even 400. The crowd, as you would expect, is rising to the occasion. The first pitch swung on and missed. We did get a look, by the way, at the stolen base call that ended the last inning. Collins was safe by maybe a second and a half. The 0-1, taken for a strike at the knees. The 0-2, swing and a miss, strike three. He got him on three pitches. None of them were that close, and he is thrown out. The batter, Brooks Baldwin, gets tossed for arguing the call, and he must have said something, to quote the all-time movie Bull Durham. There's some, a couple things you can't say to the umpire. He certainly looked like he went around on the swing, and that's what was being argued. But at the end of things, we're now going into the top of the eighth, and again, we'll keep it here. We're tied at four on the Green Jackets Radio Network. Back here in Kannapolis, North Carolina, for the top of the eighth inning. And we do have a change here, as ejected is Brooks Baldwin after striking out swinging. He is replaced by Drake Logan. Logan comes in to right. Loriano moves to left. As on to pitch is Seidel. So Seidel, who got tagged with a loss on Tuesday, gets to work for a second time this series. Tavares will swing and miss the first pitch he sees. Seidel, the former Duke reliever out of my hometown of Newton, Mass., had been flawless until Tuesday's outing. The pitch, checked to swing to Tavares, but it is outside for a ball. Seidel had only allowed one run all season before giving up six, five of which were earned in an inning and a third. He worked the ninth and a third of the tenth in the loss. The 1-1 is grounded fair. The shortstop can't get it. The third baseman will, and he'll throw to first for the out. And that'll bring up David McCabe, 1-for-3. His last time up, he drove home two, breaking a long over. McCabe will take the first pitch for a strike. We're all tied up at four here in the top of the eighth. No one on and one away. The 0-1, swing and a miss, got him at 91. So 0-2 to McCabe, who's already struck out once today. He'll foul this one off over the outside part of the plate. Still 0-2. Working her on deck. The pitch is taken outside for a ball. Adam Shoemaker had the bases loaded with two outs and then struck out Baldwin to end the frame. The 0-2 poked down the left field line but foul. One and two, the count, the pitch is taken low. So now 2-2, infield remains deep. The pitch, did he go around? They peel up the line, and he did. He will strike out swinging and go back to the dugout with the second strikeout of the day. And that'll bring up Ethan Werkinger, 1-for-3 with a triple and a strikeout. So Werkinger facing Seidel. The pitch is taken for a strike against Seidel on Tuesday. Werkinger drew a walk on a pitch clock violation that forced in a run. One of the easier ways to pick up a ribby. No one on, two away, top of the eighth. The pitch is outside for a ball. The 1-1. Flown foul down the right field line. Did talk with Werkinger earlier today, and he was talking about how he has always been a fly ball hitter. He tends to get under things a little bit. He lifted a home run all the way to left field, but it really hung up there. The pitch bounces off the catcher and goes all the way to the Green Jackets dugout. I don't know if Klonsch and Seidel got crossed wires there, but we shall see. So 2-2 with two away and no one on. The pitch, line to left field, but shallow. Coming in is Laureano. He will make the catch. And that will retire the side. To the bottom of the eighth we go. We are all tied up still for a piece on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of minor league baseball.
Tengo tu cuerpo grabado en mi mente, estoy loco por verte y de nuevo besarte.
Back here for the bottom of the eighth, we've got a pitching change. It is Jason Franks, just a couple of days removed from picking up his first professional save, who replaces Adam Shoemaker. So we will get you the final line on Shoemaker. He goes two innings, gives up two hits, two walks, and strikes out three. 35 pitches for Shuey, 21 strikes. Franks is onto the mound, the former Cal Poly closer. And he will have 3, 4, and 5 to deal with here in the bottom of inning number 8. Franks out of Novato, California, in the Bay Area. Elko set to lead it off. He is 1 for 2, a single, a walk, and a ground out for him. This will be Frank's 7th outing of the year. First pitch to Elko is up and away at 94. Frank's 6'3", 200, in the mid-90s with his fastball. The pitch, bottom of the zone with the fastball that time, taken for a ball. Franks on Wednesday went two-thirds of an inning, got a ground out and a strikeout to end it. And this pitch is fouled off. It is 2-1 to Elko. Every batter representing the potential go-ahead run here as the ball boy takes a tumble behind home plate in a little divot. The pitch, check swing, foul, and it's 2-2. So Elko will dig back in. And the count is 2-2. The pitch is bounced up there, blocked by Diamond, and it's a full count. We're tied up here 4-4. The Green Jackets have struck out 12 batters tonight. They have walked 4. each pitching staff has walked four up until now. The 3-2. Blew it by him with a fastball. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Elko strikes out to begin the bottom of the eighth, and that'll bring up Bryce Willits. He is 2-for-3, a homer, a single, and two runs brought home. Tomorrow, the Green Jackets will play afternoon baseball. 1 o'clock, the start time, as Willits will take a bouncer in the dirt. One and oh, the count. The pitch is taken away. 2-0. No one on and one away in the bottom of the eighth. 2-0 pitch is swung on and missed. Got him with a fastball down, and it is 2-1. The Green Jackets in the top of the ninth, presumably going up against Seidel once more. We'll have 5, 6, and 7. The 2-1 hits the umpire in the shoulder, and that's a painful one. And I think both training staffs are going to come out here maybe to check on him, but it looks like he's actually brushed it off. I think it got him on the elbow. Well, it's funny, we talked earlier about how catchers are sort of the last line of defense. And the manager, Patrick Leyland, checking on him as well. With only two umpires on the field, you can't really afford to lose one. And there aren't alternates either at this level. Yes, we'll just continue. We believe the count's 3-1, although they might say that that was a swing. So the pitch is taken up and away, and I guess they will have said that that's a swing because now it's a full count. The pitch. Sock to left center field. It's going to get down for a base hit. Going for two is Willits. The throw in is not in time. So sliding in with a double is Bryce Willits, and the go-ahead run is at second base with one away. So Claunch now steps in. The pitch is all the way to the backstop. Diamond picks it up. He's not going to have a throw to third. And the go-ahead run is 90 feet away. And Claunch, who is 0-for-3, can now make a productive out. So the infield has to come in. Counts 1-0. Two runs already scored today on a wild pitch. The pitch is almost to the backstop again, 2-0. The pitch bounced in the dirt, 3-0. The 3-0 is in the zone for a strike. The pitch, driven to deep right field. Going back is the right fielder, Keck. It is caught. Oh, it's dropped on the warning track. The run comes in to score, and Kannapolis has taken a 5-4 lead on an error by Andrew Keck. Willett scores. Claunch makes it all the way to second. So now there's a runner on second who represents an insurance run. It is 5-4. Kannapolis on top. The 1-0 in for a strike at 1-1. Pitch, checked his swing, but it was inside. The pitch swung on and missed, and it goes to 2-2. 5-4 the score. Kannapolis has their first lead of the day. The runner on second and one away. The 2-2 inside. So a full count with the base open at first. The 3-2 popped up to the right side of the infield. The first baseman, Janis, calls for it. And he will make the catch. No advance. And Laureano will be next to the plate. With two away. Pitch is taken for a ball just inside. Laureano, a strikeout, a walk, and a double. He also scored a run. The pitch misses away. Pitch lined up the middle. Exposito has to go off his glove, and a run is going to come in to score. It would have been a really tough play, and instead an insurance run is tacked on courtesy of an RBI by Laureano. Claunch scores from second on an RBI single. As Wes McGuire will come out to the mound. So runner is on first. It is now 6-4. And the first pitch is taken low for a ball by Cabrera Weaver. He is 1-for-3, a double and a run with 2 strikeouts. The Green Jackets have not won a game in the entire season when trailing after 8. The 1-0 at the bottom of the zone for a strike. The 1-1 in the zone. So 2 runs home in the 8th. It is a 6-4 lead for Kannapolis. Runner on first and 2 away. The 1-2. Line down the right field line. This is trouble. It gets down in fair territory. They are going to wave home the runner from first. The throw in is cut off. The throw to the plate, not in time. That's going to do it for Jason Franks, who is on the hook for the loss. Two thirds of an inning of work, but he gets hit hard. He gives up a tie game, 2/3 innings of work, 3 hits, 3 runs, all earned, and he's responsible for runner on second, as Chad Bryant will come into the game when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. Greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be.
Well, Chad Bryant becomes the 5th pitcher used in this ballgame, and he misses inside to the 9-man Sanchez. We are now in a 7-4 ballgame, 3-run 8th inning for Kannapolis. Bryant becomes the 5th pitcher used. That's the most used in a single game by Augusta this year. The 1-0 bounced in the dirt. No advance for the runner on second, Cabrera Weaver, who ends up with an RBI double, his 3rd double of the series. The pitch, swung on and missed at a high fastball. It's 2-1. Sanchez is 0-2. Two strikeouts and a walk. The pitch, popped up, center field, should be the center fielder's ball. Coming in is Collins. He dives and makes the play. An outstanding catch by Tyler Collins robs another run from Kannapolis. And we head to the ninth inning. Green Jackets trailing for the first time. They'll try and salvage something here. Down 7-4.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Ale, yeah!
Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Well, the Green Jackets have their work cut out for them now as they trail for the first time today. Chad Bryant comes in and gets the only out he needed against the only man he faces. As the Green Jackets will still be going up against Billy Seidel, who is now looking at potentially picking up his second win of the season. The Green Jackets will have Janis, Diamond, and Exposito due up. That's 5, 6, and 7. So lefty Janis in the leadoff here. He is 1-for-3. An RBI single in the fourth with a ground out and a fly out as well. The pitch is in for a strike. No one on the 0-1 outside and low, 1-1. The Green Jackets scored the first two runs of the game, Kannapolis the next two. The Green Jackets retook the lead at 4-2. Kannapolis tied it up, and we were tied for the next 2.5 innings. The pitch in for a strike. It's 1-2 on Janis. The 1-2, taken in the dirt, 2-2. So a 2-2 count on Janis. The pitch is grounded up the middle and through for a base hit. The second baseman, Sanchez, nearly stopped it with his glove. I don't think he would have had a play at first, but it will indeed be a second knock of the day for Janis. And that'll bring up Dawson Diamond. So Diamond will take the first pitch low and in the dirt. Dawson Diamond still looking for his first hit today. Two groundouts and a strikeout looking. The 1-0. Taken to the bottom of the zone for a strike. The 1-1. That one definitely down, and this ball 2-1. The pitch swung on and missed, got him with a high fastball at 92. One aboard, Green Jackets down a trio of runs in the top of the ninth. As Diamond will call timeout. The 2-2. Breaking ball, grounded right back to the pitcher, Seidel. He throws to second for one on the first double play. Tough to execute, but a 1-4-3 double play means there are now two away. And that'll bring up EJ Exposito, who represents the final out for Augusta. Exposito will take a ball to begin his at-bat. 1-3 is Exposito. The 1-0 rather, taken low and away, 2-0. The 2-0 lined at the shortstop, who makes the catch, and the ball game is over. So that'll do it from here in Kannapolis, and that means it's time for today's Easy Go postgame show. The Green Jackets fall in this one by a final score of 7-4. 4 runs, 9 hits, and an error for Augusta. 7 runs, 8 hits, and no errors for Kannapolis. Our Easy Go, or rather our IT guy play of the game, is David McCabe's 2 RBI single to snap a long ofer. He drove home 2 to give the Green Jackets the lead at that time, 4-2 in the 5th inning. The losing pitcher in this one will be Jason Franks. He falls to 0-2. The winning pitcher will be Billy Seidel, who picks up the win as he improves to 2-1. Our IT guy of the game is J.R. Ritchie, 3 2/3 of an inning of work today. He strikes out 7, gives up a walk, a hit, and 1 run, but it was not he who was pitching when that run was scored. The Green Jackets fall to 11-14. Kannapolis improves to 13-11. We'll be back at it at 1 p.m. tomorrow as the Green Jackets will look to make it 5-6. 1 p.m. start time for Didier Fuentes, who gets the mound to start his third game of the season. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Green Jackets fall in this one by a final score of 7-4. 3 runs in the 8th do it for Kannapolis. Back tomorrow on the Green Jackets Radio Network.